This is Monsters with Classes. Welcome to the Big Rock, home of Nesoisto and Koldic.
Last time, we finished killing off the ruffians who were doing rites at the Stone Circle. One of the members, a squid or octopus man, was still left alive after the battle. He demonstrated intelligence and powers of the mind when I tried to probe his thoughts, which tells me that he is a greater threat than the giants he brought upon us after. We were able to dispatch these giants and bring in captivity both what I am now calling a mind flare and the giant. Back to the prince. We have just now arrived at his palace.
Hello, I am greatly surprised that you have brought such a large monster.
Yes, it is rather large.
We figured you didn't need 5 of them.
5?
Yes.
There was more?
Yes, there was more. There's a bunch in the Dwarven Mountains, but you haven't seemed to care too much about them, so I figured you only needed 1.
The giants in the Dwarven Mountains, no one knows their location.
They're all over the mountains. You just have to go there.
Yes, it is possible you might encounter one if you traveled into the mountain, but it is unlikely.
I haven't had any trouble encountering them.
Yeah, so I have a lead. There is a bartender in a place pretty close to here. It's Bayshire, if you don't know about it. Anyway, there's been sightings of monsters in Bayshire. They were mostly sighted by a lady that runs a bar. Her name is Maga, and she has seen 3 monsters, a flying small dragon, like very small, and a large creature with a hideous face. It carries a large sword and a bow. And there is also a monkey of some kind that has a sword. She saw these creatures walking towards her bar and was wondering if she should hide or let them in, because it was kind of strange, but she decided that hiding and shutting down would be a better option. Thankfully, they actually burned the front part of her bar to the ground.
How is that good?
She didn't get killed.
I see. You missed that. So, these creatures were traveling together?
Yes.
That is strange. I wonder if the stones are giving them some sort of bond or common goal.
Well, if Oryx made these stones, and he controls the monsters, that would explain why they work together.
So, did they burn down only this building?
They burned a few fields and this building, but yeah. Only this building they were actually seen burning. The other fires were assumed.
I see. Before I forget, 2 of those camels, the younger one, that brought back the giant.
Yes.
I would like to see them retired in payment for their service.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you have, a reason?
Because it is not a light load to drag a giant across the wilderness.
Yeah.
And I gained their cooperation by promising this
retirement. Okay.
But back to the threesome. Have they been spotted in any other towns?
No.
And does anyone know their whereabouts?
They know that they've been hanging around the town. They don't cause a large path of destruction. It was strange that they burned the few things. It's not like they burned everything in their path or something. So a lot of people think they're hiding in the alleys and that kind of thing in the town.
Is this a very large town?
Not very large. There's only a small part that's heavily populated.
It would be surprising to me that such unusual creatures, 3 of them, would be able to hide in this town undiscovered.
Yes, the goblins that you brought in a while ago, they have been able to hide and surprise guards multiple times.
Did they get out of their cages?
Once, but was quickly solved. They are very tricky, and they have multiple times pretended to be dead and things like that. They have strange abilities to hide. One of them seemed to vanish before one of the guards' eyes, and that was a surprise. So we didn't know where it was for a while, and we found it that it was still in the cage. So if these other creatures have similar abilities, it could be very plausible that they could hide and that kind of thing in the tunnel.
I see. Speaking of abilities, we brought back with us, as well as the giant, a squid-like humanoid.
Yes, you mentioned this creature.
I believe that if you have trouble with these goblins, you will have to be much more cautious with this creature. It seems to possess powerful mental resistance and deception abilities.
It can't really deceive our guards to let them out, considering the guards don't have the keys. I did this on purpose.
That is an excellent precaution. But even though this creature might seem less dangerous than the giant, for example, realize that it was able to summon and take control over multiple of these creatures.
This is new news. So it took care, so it overtook the 5 minds of the giant.
There was 4 of them.
Oh.
It claimed that it had this ability because the giants had eaten the pebbles. I assume you know about the pebbles.
Yes.
But I don't know if I would trust it. In fact, I know I would not trust it to tell the truth unless the truth would benefit it. I just figured you might want that warning.
Yes, thank you.
If I were you, I would lock it up in the dungeon and leave it there.
In all my research and study of lore, I have not before heard of such a creature, but it mentioned others. It did not give any location, but I do wonder if this might be connected to the paths to the deep earth, the Underdark, the place below that you've recently become concerned with.
Yes, so you know, our most recent method has been pouring molten metal. It has worked so far.
What? Seems like a lot of metal.
Yes, it is being poured against a barrier that we already made. So it is just reinforcing it. It's not going all the way down the tunnel.
I see.
Is there anything else that you think we should know about this strange combination of dragon and monster and other monster before we head to the town?
I don't know much about them. I have studied monsters for a long time and haven't heard of a creature like they described, but it is quite possible that they over-exaggerated or something like that.
If you made your best guess, what type of creatures do you think they may be?
Most likely, well, some kind of monkey and a gnoll of some kind. And the other one I'm iffy on.
The little dragon.
Yes, it could be one of a few options.
A fairy dragon, perhaps?
Maybe.
Or a pseudo-dragon.
Yes, or not a dragon.
Or a wormling.
Yes, but those are quite large.
Or some type of reptile, a less magical kind, but still not your typical little lizard.
Yes, I guess from their description that it is some kind of fae. They said it had dazzling scales.
Where exactly is this place?
Well, the bar is beside a lake. It is Dollar Lake. It's pretty near here. It feeds off of the large lake in front of our palace.
Do we know how to get there?
Yeah, it's close. A lot of people go there to vacation or things like that.
I believe that we could begin immediately.
Yes. By the descriptions, all of these creatures are quite small, so you should be able to bring them back yourself.
Okay, Nasoistil will turn around and walk out.
Koldik will wave to the prince.
Goodbye, prince. I hope to see you soon.
And he'll follow Nasoistil.
Okay, so you guys leave the palace. Do you want to go back to your homes or go straight to the bar? It would be like an hour walk to the bar. And right now, it's early evening.
I am ready to head straight to the village, if you are.
Yes, have you looked at the truths and the lie yet?
I've read through the book, started, and I'm examining each statement for contradictions and lining them up with my study of history.
What are the three statements in the book?
I haven't reached the end of the book yet.
Do you have to read the book in order?
Well, it is good to begin with the start of a story, or history, in order to gain context into the entire event.
But if you knew what the three statements are, and then you found something that contradicted them in the book, would that not be a better way to find the lie?
I'm not sure you fully understand the detail of this document.
And why should that affect the three statements?
I am searching the entire book to try to find the one lie.
The lie was in one of the three last statements. That's what Darren said.
Can Nasoi still make a intelligence check or something to try to remember her exact words?
Yep, you can do a history.
24.
The truth will lead you to what you need to know. I don't know which is lie and which is truth. I cannot help you. I know I wrote three things in the back of the book. Three things out of three. One means nothing. One is a lie, and one is a powerful, strong truth. Three deities told me to write those three lines. I tried to listen to only two, but failed.
Yes, I believe you are correct. Now that I think of it, she did mention that the lie was part of the three statements concluding the document. I wonder why this was not the first piece of information, she shouted. While you were still unconscious, she said that I must find a lie in the book, not explicitly that it was part of a set of statements in any particular location.
Maybe it was something to do with the curse. She could only talk so much about it.
Yes, I do believe that the same mechanisms preventing her from sharing with me which the lie was may have affected, or at least may have affected her ability to share, or at least her perception of that ability. I will examine those statements at the end of the book, as well as continue to read the entire document.
As you guys are having this conversation, Nasoistil, you see Audrey Selfkeep running towards you. She normally doesn't run.
Hello.
Hello. I learned something new.
Your name starts with an A.
This is Audrey. She's the dean at the College of Lore. One of the three deans. Her brother is also one, and as well as Dion Armors.
Yes. I learned that about those magic items with the stones in the bottom. I learned that the elves, when they took them, they had a few elves, sometimes half-elves because they were considered less. They cursed them with taking the items, and if they didn't take the items, a curse would befall them. So if they didn't take them and keep them, a curse would befall them, even though they weren't the items that they were supposed to have. So, they would basically make a half-elf have an item and keep it secret, and if they tried to give it back to the right people, they would get cursed.
Does this curse still exist?
The elvish curse? I'm sure that it still exists somewhere. It was made about 800 years ago, which isn't very much for an elf, but they decided to make it so the other races could never get their weapons back.
It almost makes me want to return my hammer to the elves.
You have an item?
Yes.
Can I see it?
It's right here on my back.
I don't recognize that.
Well, it was the axe on my side.
Yes, but that doesn't have a stone.
No, it's in the hammer now.
I didn't know that was possible.
I thought that this was the original weapon, and that somehow it was moved into the axe.
Well, from all our records, the axe is the original weapon.
I didn't know you received your weapon from the elves.
I didn't. I received it from my grandfather, but it was taken by the elves.
Yes, the dwarves restored their item from the elves. I don't remember how many years ago that was, but quite a jaunt. I'm under the impression that all but four of the items have been returned.
And was this curse supposed to end when the elf or half-elf died?
It would be passed on to their children, or the curse would go on to the person that they love the most.
And what was the curse?
The curse was not being able to speak and having difficulty breathing. Also, they would instantly attack anyone who had the item or was defending the person with the item. Mainly why this is interesting to me is because the multiple human weapons haven't been restored. And most of us are under the impression that the elves, high elves, have been keeping them in the Mazelands.
Yes, that seems likely.
One of the items is, we're not exactly sure, but a lot of people around here think that the item is of the Southkeep line. This is mainly why I'm interested.
And what would that weapon be?
It has been passed down from our records from the mother to the daughter. And the item has a pink stone. The stone is severed into on either ends of the sling.
So the weapon is a slingshot.
Yes.
Do I happen to know what this stone is? What type of stone the pink stone is?
It could be multiple kinds of stone. But yeah, you could probably guess what kind of stone it is.
If I saw it.
Yeah. Although sometimes in the weapons, they're not actual normal stones. They're stones that haven't ever been known to exist before. They're not rubies or diamonds. They're just magic stones.
Well, I will certainly be on the lookout for any information regarding this sling.
Yeah, thank you. Also, here you go. She hands you a stack of letters.
What are these?
They all arrived at your apartment, and the landlady knows that you work at a college and brought them to us.
I see.
Us, knowing that you work for the prince, I came here.
Thank you.
She hails a cart and heads off towards the Bardic College.
Do you suppose us, your students, wanting you back?
I highly doubt it. I believe these letters are from Blackened Knight.
Who would he know where you live?
He seemed to know where I lived when he left notes all over my apartment.
He left notes all over your apartment?
Yes, threatening my life for working with the prince and that sort of thing. Quite annoying.
Well, I suppose it doesn't matter if they're from Blackened Knight, because he's dead now.
Yes, and hopefully his entire group was at the circle when we arrived.
Oh, did we? We brought the stones, right?
Yeah, all the pebbles. You brought them on the thing to the prince.
So they're at the palace, right?
Yeah.
Now. Okay.
Did they draw monsters to them?
Yep. So, do you guys want to just head straight to the bar?
Yeah, Nasoista will read the letters along the way. He'll open the first couple, and if they're all the same death, then he'll throw them out.
Okay. So, all but two of them are death threats. You can tell by the seal. The crossed out sun and darkened moon is the seal on most of them that are death threats. And the death threats are very similar. They have dates in the corner, and they were all sent. They were all sent 20 days.
Just all at once?
Yep.
We did prints, or was that when we started?
You started, like, training and stuff around 20 days ago. But you didn't actually start doing missions until 12 days ago.
And what did the two other letters say?
The two other letters, one is from your student, one of your students. And it is basically, he said that he was glad that you were able to teach him and that he learned a lot. And he also said that he is, sadly, not going to be able to go to school anymore and has to go to Pitchcliff to start working for his grandfather and, like, mining and stuff. It is from Freddy Yellow. And the other letter has a 100 gold, basically, like, kind of, like, paycheck slip thing. And that is from Prince Rowley.
What does it say in the letter?
There is the paycheck and there is one word, thanks.
And who is it addressed to?
It is addressed to Koldick and Nasoisto.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. Are these a typical monetary device?
Like the payslip kind of thing?
Yeah.
So you go, it has like the bank name and everything on the thing, and you go to the bank, you give it to the person, and it has the prince's seal. Normally only royalty and other really rich people use it, okay. But yeah.
And how much is like a college tuition about? Like how much are the students paying?
Like 50 gold.
Okay.
For like 3 years.
Okay, so Nasoisto, how far away are we now? Are we still kind of close by to the town and the palace and everything?
You'd probably be about halfway.
Halfway there?
Yeah, so it's like a half hour walk back.
Is there any way that I could get like a message or a letter sent to Meridian?
From where you are, not really.
What about from the town?
You could, like, probably just pay someone to run and do it.
Okay.
There's not, like, letter services, but normally in bars, there'll be a list of names, and basically those people are normally the people that people call to do that kind of thing.
Did they wear any kind of uniform?
No.
Okay.
So, you guys arrive at a little bar built on a wharf to the lake.
Okay, I'm going
to
look for one of those message boards.
Okay, there are just two names in this one, and the names are Maggie and Marl, and the little information it gives about them is that they are twins.
Okay, is there a tender at the bar?
Yep, a short woman greets you. Hello, welcome to my bar. You notice that there's, like, no name on the bar, and nothing is fancy or anything like that.
Where would I be able to find these message runners?
Oh, they're my kids.
Well, I would like to have a letter sent to the South Keep College.
Okay.
So Nasoisto is going to take the paper and write, I don't know, like on the back of it or something. This is for Freddy Yellow. Hopefully he'll be able to stay in college as a student with this. And then I'll hand it to the bartender.
Okay. She calls out the twins' names, and one of them comes over, and she hands her the letter, and it tells her where to go. So, what do you want? Is that all you want here?
Well, we probably need a place to stay the night. Do you have rooms here?
Yep.
We've come to try to investigate reports of three monsters.
Yeah, they burned down the front of my bar.
Does the front of the bar look burned?
Nope.
Oh, indeed. I see you have made repairs rather quickly.
No. My bar is in a different building. I changed.
I see.
Moved buildings.
You are the only person to have reportedly seen these creatures.
Yeah.
Could you tell me what you saw?
Well, a dog-like faced guy, about 4 feet tall, with beady eyes and large teeth. He was hunched over, and he had a sword and a bow strapped to his back.
Did he have fur?
Yeah, scruffs of it, but very, like, not like thick fur or anything like that. In some spots it was thick, but it was mostly, like, smooth, like a short-haired cat or something.
What coloration?
Gray and like a little bit of darker brown.
And
he also
had
large feet.
And you said he was in an upright human position?
Yeah, like slouched over, but still like standing on 2 feet.
I see. Perhaps we are dealing with a lycanthrope.
Nobody responds.
And the other ones?
A weird monkey that had weapons. And then the best way I can describe it is a dragon.
But small.
Yes. Probably about the size of a chair.
Did the fire come from the dragon?
No. I don't know where the fire came from. I was hiding in the basement. But I know it didn't come from the dragon.
How is that?
Other people saw.
Indeed. And would we be able to speak with them?
Sure.
Where might we find them?
Well, you might be able to catch one before they die in the hospital. Well, not really hospital. Makeshift place.
Could you give us directions?
Sure. Go over to the town hall and go in there.
Thank you. We'll see you later.
Okay.
Okay, we'll go outside, look for the town hall.
She said before they die, do you think you can save them?
I am not practiced in medicine. I believe that whoever is attending to them will have as much knowledge of bandages as I do.
You've put me back up twice now.
Yes, and you're lucky for that. If I believe I will be of assistance, I will offer my help.
So, you guys walk into the small town hall and are greeted by a grave-faced woman. Hello.
Good day.
So, you're a dragon?
I am a dragonborn. I have draconic ancestry. We're looking to try to capture the monsters that caused the fire, and we're wondering if we could speak with some of the victims.
Yeah, I guess you can talk to me. I'm the last person to talk to them.
So, what was it that you saw?
Well, I didn't see anything, but the others did. They told me that there was the monkey. It started a little fire by using its bow. It fanned the arrow in the wood, creating a small fire like some do. And then the gnoll picked the fire up in its hand and chucked it at the building.
The gnoll, you say?
Yes. One of the people who was a victim was a seasoned ranger and had met these creatures. Normally, they don't have the ability to pick up fire or to handle it without any stick or wood in it. But
so you're saying that they picked up the flame itself?
Yes.
One who can control the elements, at least fire.
And did these creatures display any other unusual abilities?
Well, like, it's kind of strange that a monkey could use a bow and start a fire and a sword and that kind of thing.
Was it, or did it appear to be a physical, natural animal?
Yes.
So we're not talking about some sort of monkey man or anything like that?
Maybe it was an illusion.
I have not heard of an illusion that can start a fire.
If something was disguising itself as a monkey.
I see.
Though you would think that it would disguise the other things then too.
I do not see the reason for whatever this thing was to disguise itself.
Well, that all depends on what it is, doesn't it?
Yes, I suppose so. I have also heard of certain woodland masters and people who have been able to befriend animals as companions. Perhaps we are dealing with those powers inside of the dragon or the gnoll.
But would that give the monkey the skill to start a fire?
I do not have enough information to answer that question. I suppose it is possible.
So, where would we find these things?
Well, no one really knows where they are, but you could probably find them somewhere in the alleys at night.
Why is it that you believe they're still in the town?
Other strange things happening. The burning of a few fields, the reanimate, the destruction of a few strange things like a statue that was made and other things like that.
Is there somewhere in this place up high where we can watch from?
There's a few three-story buildings, but those are the highest buildings.
Is the building that the temporary inn is set up in multiple stories?
It's two.
I suppose we could set a watch from our room at the inn.
Or from the roof, it's higher.
Yes. Well, thank you for speaking with us.
Yeah.
We'll be heading back to the inn now. Hopefully we can rid you of these pestilence soon.
Yeah. So, you guys head back to the inn, and the bartender greets you. Hello.
Hello.
You looking for a room?
Yes. Preferably one with a wide view of the town.
The roof.
Is there access to the roof?
Yeah.
Could you show us?
Sure. She slowly walks up the stairs and brings you to a small hatch. There.
How big is the hatch?
You could fit through it if you squeezed.
Okay.
It's like 3 feet by 3.
And is there a ladder or something up to it?
No.
Do you have a ladder somewhere?
No. Celestia, you can easily reach the ledge. Your head's almost brushing the ceiling.
Okay. I feel like it would be difficult to reach up and pull yourself through a small space, though.
Yeah, you guys have rope, too.
Yeah, but you gotta tie it to something.
A chimney.
Do you have...
Yeah, you have to get up first to tie it to the chimney. I suppose I could put Koldic up. But climbing a rope through a small space is not any easier.
Yeah, climbing a ladder through a small space isn't easy.
No, but it would still... It gives you something to put your feet on.
Yeah.
Do you have a trunk or a chest or... A chair,
yeah.
Something that I could use.
You can carry
to climb
the,
up.
The barrels from the bottom up if you want.
Can we also have their contents?
If you pay.
Those are downstairs?
In the cellar.
Okay, so I still go down, grab two barrels.
Okay, you carry the barrels up the staircase and set them in front of the hatch.
While Nasoista is doing that, Koldic is going to try to climb up.
It's like 5 feet above the ceiling. She's going to, like, just do a super leap.
So, is the hatch closed
right
now? But there's not a lock.
There is no lock.
I guess I won't really...
Okay, so you carry the barrels up and set them in the front of the thing.
Do you want to take the first watch?
Sure, I can do that.
We can alternate 4 hours each.
I don't have that weird thing. Where you talking my head, though?
I have this drum that you could sound if you need to wake me. I am a rather light sleeper.
How many pounds do you weigh?
350.
That should work.
Okay, so, Koldic, you take the first watch. About an hour into your watch, you see what looks to be a campfire in a close-by alley.
Okay, so I'm gonna jump down from the roof.
Okay.
Into the hall, go to wherever Nasoisto is, and wake him up.
Yes.
There's a fire in an alley.
Okay. Nasoisto will scoop up his sword and head out.
In what direction?
It's straight in front of the bar.
The alley, just across the street.
Are there any windows in the front of the bar?
Yeah, there's a few.
Okay, before I go outside, I'll stop and look through.
So you pull aside the curtains to the glassless window, and you see a campfire with two figures by it.
Can I see what they are?
They are backlit, so you can only really see, like, their shadows. You want to roll perception?
17.
Okay, so you see that one of them is about 2 feet tall and has a tail, and the other one is 5 feet tall and is hunched over.
This would be our culprit.
I wouldn't. I've woke you otherwise.
Okay, I think we'll just take a direct approach, go right up to the alley.
You know that spell you usually cast on me in the middle of a battle?
The one to stop you from being afraid?
Yes, it might be worthwhile to cast that before the battle.
Very well. The story still will cast heroism by placing his claw-like hand on Koldic's shoulder and saying,
"This battle... Dwarf, is for you. You will be victorious."
And then Koldic is going to cast enlarge / reduce as a twined spell.
That's better.
So both of us, two
That might not be a good idea. How wide is the alley, and how wide is the door we have to go through before we get to the alley?
The door you couldn't fit through if you were much bigger. The alley, on the other hand, you could fit through. It would be like your shoulders are right against the wall.
Okay, we'll skip the twined spell part and just do it for myself.
Okay.
So I still will go out the door first.
As you open the door, you see the figures turn. You guys can roll for initiative.
13.
And so I still got a 12.
So, you see a flutter of wings as a dragon-like creature flies out of the alley. It makes a weird sound. Do you guys know Draconic? Oh, yeah, you're a dragonborn. You do know Draconic.
Yes, I do too.
Okay, so it makes a squawk in Draconic, and it is saying, "We have friends." And then the other two figure turn towards you.
Was it like talking to its companions?
Yep.
Okay.
And pull out, the two figures pull out blades. And then you see a hovering creature. This list, you know this to be an imp. Come out from behind them.
I'm not afraid of you.
You guys both have to make wisdom saves.
Koldic got a 16.
No, so I still got 19.
Okay. So, Koldic, you have to roll a d10 on the start of all of your turns to figure out what you do. You are confused.
I'm gonna check up on that heroism spell, see if it maybe has any effect on this.
Let's hope it does.
Well, it just stops them from being frightened.
And gives me XP.
Yeah.
The imp that you guys saw earlier vanishes. The baboon.
Baboon?
Yes, the monkey-like thing. The baboon. He starts to climb up one of the sides of the building and pulls a scimitar out from his scabbard.
Is he wearing clothes?
Yep.
They didn't mention that. Okay.
The prince.
And the gnoll runs towards you and attempts to bite you.
Who?
Cold. Does 17 hit your AC?
Nope.
Okay, so his teeth gnash off of your armor. And it is Koldic's turn.
Okay, that's a 6.
So, that means that you are not able to do anything on your turn. Nisloisto, it is your turn.
Who cast that confusion spell?
The pseudo dragon.
Okay. Nisloisto will use his dragon sword to attack the pseudo dragon.
Okay.
It's a lot of dragons.
Yep.
A dragon is using the dragon sword to attack the dragon. 16 attack.
Okay.
11 damage.
It falters as your sword slashes against one of its wings.
Does Koldic stop seeing bright colors?
If anything, the colors strengthen. Okay, so the pseudo-dragon, not liking you slashing it with his sword, flies higher and casts silence.
What does that mean?
It makes a 20-foot radius of complete silence, which means no casting verbal spells or taking any thunder damage.
Well, I wasn't planning to take thunder damage, but that verbal spell thing is kind of debilitating.
The gnoll...
That's every single one of my spells.
...pulls a longsword from his back and slashes it towards Gold. And his sword clangs against the stationary Koldic's armor. Koldic's stationary armor. Nisloisto, make dexterity saving throw. There is a creature flying down towards you. The baboon has let go of the side of the building and is leaping towards you with a scimitar.
13.
Okay, so you step mostly out of the way, but the sword catches you on the shoulder, and you take 2 damage. Okay, and it is Koldic's turn. You have to roll that d10 again.
I got a 9 this time.
Okay. That means you are free from the spell for now.
Nice. But what can I even do?
Step outside the silent zone.
I suppose. So the dragon is outside the silent zone, right?
Yep. It flew above it.
And can I cast a spell with verbal components that goes into the silent zone if I'm outside of it?
Yeah. Okay. As long as the spell doesn't rely on thunder damage.
So I'm going to cast Witch Bolt as a twined spell, both at the dragon and the baboon.
Okay.
So, I'll do the attack for the dragon first. Crit fail, and for damage for that one, I got a 1 as well.
Okay, so you accidentally shot too soon, and the spell doesn't do anything. because you tried to say the words and you didn't estimate correctly where the silence ended.
You tried to cast a spell where you were still in the quiet zone.
So is my casting wasted then?
Yep.
So it looks like I just stepped to the side a little bit. That's it.
Yeah, pretty much. You still look entranced. Koldic, the Swisto, it is your turn.
How high up is the pseudo-dragon?
15 feet.
I'm going to use my breath weapon. How many of them can I get inside the cone without also hitting Koldic?
Just two.
So the dragon and someone else?
Yeah, the gnoll.
Okay. So they have to make a constitution save.
5 for the pseudo-dragon and 19 for the gnoll.
The pseudo-dragon is going to take 11 damage and then the gnoll is going to take 5, or is it 6? You round up or down for half. Okay, so he's going to take 5 damage.
Okay. The pseudo-dragon falls out of the sky.
Hooray!
So, the monkey runs towards Koldic, and green fire appears on its blade. And it slices its blade towards you. The fire doesn't burn you because of your armor, and the sword glances off as well.
You can't even hurt me. I've got my grandfather's armor.
As you say that, a thin blade appears in your back, and a little imp also appears, holding the blade. You take 5 damage. The gnoll charges towards Nasoisto and pulls out a small whistle, blowing it. It is very loud and shrill.
Koldic is going to reach around and grab onto the imp and cast Shocking Grasp. That's 14 attack and 13 damage.
So you reach around and grab the imp and deal it 13 damage, which knocks it unconscious.
And that damage is non-lethal.
Yep. So, Nasoisto, the gnoll is charging towards you with your whistle, with its whistle, and it is your turn.
Is the whistle doing anything?
Other than making a loud sound, not really.
Can I make some sort of check to see if I think that it's more than just an ordinary whistle?
Sure. Arcana.
24.
Okay. So you know that this whistle, you've heard about whistles very similar to this whistle. They basically destroy a 1-foot cube in the direction they're being blown.
How does a whistle have a direction?
The end of the whistle.
Oh, so it's like a recorder or
yeah,
something.
It's more like a recorder than a normal whistle.
It's not like a coach
no.
swimming whistle or something. Okay, what direction is it blowing in?
He's blowing it towards you as he's running towards you.
Okay, do I have enough movement to, like, go out of the path of the whistle and then attack him?
You can, like, run around, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can run around and attack him.
9 attack and 9 damage.
That is a miss. So, you run around and spend more of your time avoiding the direction of the whistle than actually focusing on your attack. So you miss. Okay, the gnoll tries to turn around while running to point the whistle in Koldic's direction. The wall of the alley beside you disintegrates, Koldic, and you take 6 thunder damage from the loud sound. The monkey that is lying on the ground rolls away deeper into the alley. Koldic, it is your turn.
I'm going to cast Firebolt as a twined spell at both of them.
Okie dokie. Does that mean I have to make dexterity save throws?
No, Firebolt is an attack spell.
Okay.
So the first one is 11 attack and 7 damage. That's to the gnoll.
Okay.
And the second one is 12 attack and 8 damage to the monkey.
Okay, so the gnoll's armor is leather, so the fire just kind of like bangs against it and doesn't burn him very much. And the monkey was already very hurt, so he just lies still after that. Nasoisto, your turn.
Is the gnoll still blowing his whistle?
No, his whistle was long. And, like, basically each hole, one hole has disappeared off the end.
So it disappeared, the whistle?
Not all of it, just one hole, like, do you know how, like, recorders have holes?
Yeah.
Well, one hole disappear.
How many are there total?
Three.
And then he just stopped?
Yeah, he stopped.
Okay, I'm going to swing my sword at him. That is 23 attack and 7 damage.
You knock the gnoll down. So, you guys defeated all of the monsters. By now, a few people have walked out of their houses, and only one or two have actually been watching the battle, but there is a little bit of a crowd.
Kuldyk is going to go put out the fire that they started in the alley.
Okay.
And so I still will search through, look for anything of interest on them, starting with the whistle.
Okay. So you look at the whistle. You don't learn much more about it. And you presume, based on your knowledge, that each hole is a turn. You know that it does the destroying of a foot-by-foot area about 5 feet away from the object. And that a radius around that, everyone in that radius gets force damage.
Okay. Do I find anything else on them?
You want to roll for investigation?
19.
You find a thin bottle tucked inside of the stocking of one of the, like, you find a bump and then you take it out. You look at the bottle for a while, and you recognize the swirling patterns on it, but you don't know exactly what it's from.
So I've seen them before, I just don't know where?
Yeah.
What's inside the bottle?
White, milky liquid.
How big is it?
It's, like, the size of a little container, like, smaller than a dice bag.
Okay. And it seems the symbols could be, like, magical or something?
Yeah.
But I don't know what they mean.
You also find 4 gold on all of them put together.
Okay, I'll hand the gold over to Kuldyk. And are they still breathing?
Yeah.
Tie them up.
Okay. A man from the crowd walks forward and says, "Why aren't you killing them?"
"This is not an isolated phenomenon. Creatures with magical powers have been seen all throughout the Big Rock. We are bringing them to Royal Headquarters for study."
"Well, I don't know about the rest of us, but these creatures have killed lots of our town folk. There might be other creatures in other places. I don't mind if you take them, but these ones deserve to die."
"They will. They'll die of old age in prison. That's proper punishment."
"I do not believe that you were the one to capture these creatures. Am I mistaken?"
"No."
"Well then, perhaps you should let those who have decide what is done with them."
"I don't want some dragon to carry off a bunch of creatures that are most likely somewhat related."
"If you offer more money than the prince, we might let you have them."
"Rowley?"
"Yes."
"What the heck does he want with these things?"
"He is studying them."
"I find it hard to believe that he'd hire a dragon without studying the dragon. I don't get why he would hire you to go get things. A dwarf that can shoot magic and a dragon sounds like studying material to me."
"He knows that he can't study people."
"Well, not to offend you, but you, in my opinion, dragon, are no less person than these creatures."
"No less?"
"No more person."
"I consider my draconic blood to be a boon, a benefit, not a detriment."
"I don't recommend comparing him to Squidman either."
"Well, I do not like the idea of these creatures living."
"Well, they were living before we captured them."
"Yes, and I still do not like the idea of them living."
"Well,
I did not like it when they were alive and roaming our streets, and I do not like it now."
"Are you going to offer us more money than the prince did?"
"You weren't hired by us to attack these creatures. And if you were, then yes, I would give you money for them."
"You will not have them killed unless you buy them from us."
"I'm not particularly interested in selling these creatures, Kuldyk. I am able to reason with you and talk so long as you realize that in the end, it is my decision what I do with these beasts.
Yes, I have no control over you.
Perhaps we can come to a compromise.
How about we kill one of them for every person that died?
How many were slain?
Two.
And how many things are there?
Four.
There's four. What are they again? There's the gnoll, there's...
The gnoll, the monkey, the imp, and the pseudo-dragon.
And the prince said that there were three who were talking to him.
Yes, he didn't know about the imp.
I do believe that one of these creatures, less, would not really affect things for us. I don't particularly like devils. And so, you may have that imp. If you would like to send people with us to accompany these creatures to Meridian to ensure that they do not escape, that is entirely acceptable.
No, we will have to trust you, based on the fact that if you let them free, we can do nothing.
If you see sign of more creatures like this, send word to Meridian.
To who?
Prince Rowley.
You can't just send messages to the prince.
I believe that he will be open to receiving messages of this kind.
Okay.
If not, you can bring them to the College of Law.
Okay.
Would we be able to ask of you some rope or chains to tie up the rest of these creatures?
I'm sure we can find some.
I believe we only have one piece.
Do you have rope?
No, but you do.
Yes.
The man walks off and grabs a large rope from inside of a building, and he comes back out, handing you the rope. We don't have any shackles or chains.
Very well. Thank you for this. What time of day is it?
It's, 11. So it's mostly just adults outside. It's in the
what
night.
What does that mean? Oh, 11 at night.
Yeah.
Because we set watch.
Yeah.
Do you wish to head back immediately? Or shall we try to stay the night?
I don't want these creatures getting away.
Do we have any way to carry them? Like, other than just, like, bodily picking them up?
The monkey and pseudo-dragon are small enough that you could, like, just pick them up. But the gnoll is larger. He's, like, 5 feet tall.
And would we also be able to borrow a cart or pack animal of some kind?
How would I know that you're bringing it back?
I can purchase them, if need be.
Okay. You want, like, a mule or donkey?
Yes, that would be satisfactory.
Okay, I'll go talk to the man that runs the stable. The guy walks off and comes back 10 minutes later. Do you guys want to do anything in between then?
Well, Koldik is going to kill the imp, so he's going to take the hammer from his grandfather, and he's going to bring it down on the imp's head.
Okay, so you crush the imp's skull. As you crush the imp's head, a large stone grows up over the creatures in the alley, and runes are spread across it.
What is this?
I just killed the imp.
This stone.
Maybe it comes from imps.
Townspeople saw this, right?
Yep.
Is the imp still visible?
No.
Koldik, could I use your hammer?
What for?
I'm going to break the stone.
I guess you can. Why?
Do you hand me the hammer?
Yeah.
I'm going to try to break open the stone.
Okay.
Just make an attack roll?
Yep.
Okay, so 15 attack. Is it a d10 for damage with two hands?
Yes, it's versatile d10.
12 damage.
So, the hammer bounces off of the stone.
Does it look like the runes are protecting it in any way, or just...
No.
That I didn't hit it hard enough. Can I try again?
Sure.
Oh, not one.
Okay, so you swing the hammer and miss the stone completely, and bash it into the side of the house on the other side of the alley.
Which one? The one that already has part of the wall disintegrated?
Sure.
Is, how large is the damaged area?
It's like a foot and an inch.
So I can't use my mending on it?
Exactly.
Oh well. I'm just gonna keep going. Try again. I'm gonna break this thing. 18 attack?
Okay.
And 9 damage.
Okay, so you snap the stone in half.
It grew out of the ground, right?
Yeah.
So it's, like, attached to the ground.
It's buried into the ground somewhat, but other than that, it's not, like, attached to the ground.
Okay. So I cracked it straight down the middle?
No. Cracked the top off.
Okay, so is there an imp inside?
Nope.
Help me. Push it over.
Push it over?
Well, the imp was there. It could be still there.
Did the stone grow up around the imp?
The imp was, like, lying down on the ground. More like curled up on the ground.
But did the stone grow up around the imp?
Yeah.
The stone is, like, bigger where the imp was, right?
A little bit, yeah.
So why isn't it inside there?
Because the imp wasn't standing up. It wouldn't be up that high anyway.
If a stone grew around the imp would be inside the stone.
It's tall.
What's tall?
The stone.
So an obelisk is basically a out jutting of stone. So it's basically, like, taller than it is wide. So you crack the top.
Oh, it's like a stone pillar.
Yeah.
I was picturing just like a boulder that surrounded the imp.
Nope.
Okay. I'm going to aim for the lower part of the stone where the imp is.
Okay.
Supposedly there. And 11 attack.
Okay, the hammer bounces off again. Your arms are getting tired.
23 attack and 9 damage.
Okay, so you give it a good hit and the stone cracks apart a little bit where you hit, and you can see part of the imp.
What part?
The knee.
Did it just, like, chip?
The stone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna hit it again.
Okay, we can montage through that.
Okay, I hit this time and get 14 damage.
Okay, so you hit at it. How much do you want, like, to be able to see of the gnome? Or not the gnome, the imp.
Like its head or its torso or something like that.
Okay, so you hit away at it for a while, and after you've kind of, like, weakened the rock, it just kind of, like, splits into. So you can see most of the imp. Still, like, rock stuck onto it. But.
Okay, and is it obviously dead?
Yep.
Well, there we go.
I'll hand Koldik back his hammer. Has the man arrived with the donkey yet?
Yep.
Okay.
He's been watching.
Load the creatures onto the donkey, tie them up, and set off for Meridian.
5 gold, he says before you leave. So, you guys set off for Meridian, and you walk through the night. As you're walking, you hear a gnomish voice singing.
You realize you're gonna have to sing now.
Maybe.
Definitely.
Do I have to sing?
Well, you have to represent singing in some way.
Okay, fine. Here we go. Mighty magic has its downfall. Mighty monsters get their might from me. And big stones... I like them. Mighty magic. This is my rhyme and my silly poem.
Do we know what direction it's coming from?
Yep. It's just like further down the path. As you walk, a small gnome comes into view. He has wild hair and is wearing what looks to be a straight jacket.
What are you doing traveling in the middle of the night?
He continues to sing, seemingly oblivious of your question.
I'm gonna grab onto him.
I asked you a question.
He looks up at you, somewhat frightened. What? As you look into his eyes, you realize that he is blind.
I asked what you're doing, walking around in the middle of the night.
It's night?
Yes.
Oh.
It's dangerous to walk around in the night.
Yeah? So why are you doing it? Clearly, you were walking, otherwise would have heard a horse or something. You guys do sound big.
You didn't hear me the first time I asked you a question.
I wasn't listening.
And you didn't hear the horse because you weren't paying attention.
Maybe. It's dangerous to ride around in the night. Can't see, can you? It's dark.
I can see. I've got eyes for the night.
Oh. Well, I can't see all the time, so it's no different for me.
There's more thugs in the night though.
What would they take from me? Plus, most people ran away when they hear me singing. The song is pretty creepy.
And where did you... find this song?
I learned it off of a guy named Black and Knight. Well, I made it about him.
And how do you know him?
Well, Mom said not to tell anyone, but he's my dad.
Isn't he Darren Edge's dad as well? No, Marithra's Darren Edge.
Also, this is a gnome, so...
Yeah, I know, that's why I'm confused. That's why I'm confused.
Black and Knight was a human, right?
Yep, and Darren Edge is not related to Black and Knight in any way. Marithra was Darren Edge's dad.
Yeah.
What's your name, lad?
Gari.
Garya, would you be interested in talking to the prince?
No. Dad wants to kill the prince. Well, not dad. Stepdad. I don't think he's nice. Dad. Stepdad, I mean. I keep calling him dad. I don't know why. He, like, wants to kill people.
Well, I don't believe he will be doing much more of that.
Why?
When was the last time you saw him?
25 years ago.
Oh, yes. You can't see. When was the last time you spoke with him?
25 years ago.
I thought you were a kid.
Gnomes live longer and mature hardly at all.
That's mean. Well, it's actually funny.
I meant it as a fact.
Facts are boring.
I find them rather fascinating. And
like
useful.
Machines? Freddy?
Facts.
At Blazing Arch? He has fascinating machines.
You know Fred, do you?
Yeah.
Are you related to him, too?
No.
Where are you going?
Nowhere.
Do you often do this?
No. First time.
Well, I hope you have a good journey.
Which road am I on?
Do we know the name of the road?
Normally, people refer to roads by, like, where they go. And this one goes to a elven place near here. It doesn't have, like, a name that people use. They just call it the Elven Place. The elves have a name for it, but most people can't pronounce it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I pronounce it?
You could probably try, but I can't as a human being.
Well, what's the translation?
The translation is, like, Garathel, a boat like that, something like that. Except it's more like Thil at the end. But, like, the actual thing they say is longer and more complicated. It's also, like, elvish, so...
This road goes from Meridian to the elvish...
Is it a village?
Yeah.
To the elvish village of Garethrel.
Oh, I thought this went to the ferry boats that bring you to the other side of the bay.
No.
Oh, well, I guess I should go that way. Where is that way?
You can follow us.
Okay. He starts singing his song again, every once in a while changing the words. So, you guys reach the palace and point to the boy in the right direction. And that is where we're going to stop.